to be read online as a result of the Project Gutenberg. Unless otherwise stated, all quotes used herein come from this source. The translations are done from Old Norse by Benjamin Thorpe and I. A. Blackwell. While Snorri sadly came to an untimely end as a result of falling out with the King of Norway, who ordered his assassination, his legacy lives on. Another paradigm shift we must make before we enter the realm of ancient mythology is the place of the gods in daily life, how real and present they were, and how important. Most people tend to know more about the mythological Greek and Roman pantheons than their Norse counterparts, as they were a much jollier lot. The Greek gods in particular lived a pleasurable and joyous life in Olympus. They were immortal, having been created by Mother Earth and Father Heaven. The great Greek heroes were modeled in their likeness, and were beautiful, fearless, and performed daring feats with strength and courage. The Norse gods were more remarkable, not immortal, and constantly at odds with their giant enemies. They endured great trials and lived in Asgard, which they knew was destined to go up in flames during Ragnarok, or the prophesied end of the world. The Greek gods came before and, in fact, created the universe, while in Norse mythology, the universe was created by and from one of the gods. Norse heroes, though similarly enormously strong, were unlike their Greek and Roman counterparts, as they were strangely detached, almost solemn, and tended to be tested by performing feats that demanded great sacrifices. Interestingly, in both mythologies, gods and goddesses had equal rights and were just as powerful and forthright. Chapter 1. The Creation in Norse Mythology. 'Twas time's first dawn, when naught yet was, nor sand, nor sea, nor rolling wave. Earth was not there, nor heaven above, naught save a void and yawning gulf, but verdure none. The void and yawning gulf was called Ginnungagap. To the north was a frozen waste of ice, fog and frost and bitter cold, called Niflheim. In the south was a wasteland called Muspelheim, consumed with fire, smoke, sparks, and oozing lava. These two spheres drifted toward each other through the void, finally colliding. If this sounds vaguely familiar, it is because it echoes the first verses of Genesis in the Bible. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. But then all familiarity disappears, and in the Eddas we read, "And when the heated blast met the gelid vapor, it melted it into drops, and, by the might of him who sent the heat, these drops quickened into life and took a human semblance. The being thus formed was named Ymir." Ymir is variously described as the primordial deity or ice giant, or a humanoid creature. At the same time and from the same material, the cow Audhumbla was created. Four rivers of milk flowed from her teats, which sustained Ymir, who fell asleep after drinking large quantities of her milk. As he slept, two giants, one male and one female, grew from the sweat under Ymir's left armpit. Some versions of the myth say that one giant came from each armpit. Even more startling, his legs parted, creating a son called Thrudgelmir, or Strength Yeller. In one version, it was actually a six-headed son that grew out of his feet. However it happened, this was the first of the frost giants, or the Jotuns. Audhumbla, the giant cow, sustained herself by licking the salt from the rocks. On the first day, her licking produced an outline of long hair, the second produced a human head, and the third revealed the rest of the body of Buri, the first god. Buri immediately produced a son called Bor, B-O-R, or Bor, B-O-R-R. Bor married a Jotun called Besla, and they had three mighty sons, Odin, Vili, and Ve. The Creation of the Earth. It was then, even before the forming of the earth, that the eternal feud between good and evil began. The prose Edda records it thus. "Was there," asked Gangler, "any kind of equality or any degree of good understanding?"